So I have my Bible in hand, and thank you, team. So grateful for that, and I know everybody that's with us this morning feels the same way. What a great way to begin the Word of God. I wanted to naturally just invite you to take hold of your scriptures. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, but whatever reference you might have, we welcome that as well. And we're going to begin a Christmas series, our holiday series, entitled Reality Lessons from the Christmas Story. Now, you know me, I always want to start with a little bit of a joke. So since Christmas is really so much given to young children, this is for my young audience. So here it is. It's quick. But did you happen to see the snowman at the farmer's market? He was looking at the carrots, picking his nose. Ha, that was it. Just wanted to add that. But hey, we're going to begin. Today's message is entitled, Following God Does Not Require Full Understanding. Following God doesn't require full understanding. So let me lead in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and the graciousness with which you're going to flow right now through your word. Timely message, once again, a needed message for all of us. We want to learn even from the Christmas story for our own lives right now. And you'll do that, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I always enjoy reading the scriptures, and I know you do as well. But when we take away life lessons, things that we would take a look and say, wow, that is something that is a reality to me. And today's message is involving just that, that to follow God really doesn't require us to fully understand what is he doing in our life. Now, my wife, her name is Ainsley, we enjoy traveling. We've been to some amazing places, and air travel has always impressed me and caused me to wonder a whole lot. For example, here we are taking off on a flight with people we've never met or known operating the plane, and we're not even quite sure how this whole process works. You can imagine, here we check in our luggage, and it somehow just takes off on its own and miraculously returns to us at our destination. We get into the plane. We are going to fly now with people we've never met. The pilot we're entrusting our life with, who we know nothing about. We're in a tin can, a glorified tin can, flying at 30,000 feet in the air, going 600 miles an hour. And we are just looking at the reality. We don't even know the flight pattern. We really just know this. We are expected to arrive at our destination and on time. That's really it. It doesn't require any of us to understand all those things or even the people that we're entrusting our life with. Isn't that amazing? There are really flight protocols, travel protocols that would be required of a person that's traveling. But we take that example here. We would fly without very little understanding who's in charge and how this whole thing comes about. And it's now the same with a person that's going to follow God in this life. That it really comes to that point where very little really requires us to understand everything of God's plan for your life, for my life. But it does require us to move in obedience and requires us to follow Jesus. And we're taking a look at four main characters of the Christmas story this morning. And I want to open that up because when we look here, it's important. Maybe you've come across and you've experienced something that you're uncertain or maybe a little bit confused about God or what he has for you to do. If that's you, then this message is for you. So you take heart because most every one of us have come to that point in our lives where we recognize we are not quite sure what the next steps are, just a little bit of what we know God has for us. So I'm looking now at Luke chapter 1, and we are going to begin with our first point. Being confused, following God is normal. That is our first point. Being confused. When you follow God, that's a normal element. And I want to look at these four main characters. The first one, letter A, Zechariah. He's a priest performing his service at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, Zechariah is married to Elizabeth. It's right there in chapter 1. It really begins with verse 5. I'm going to keynote in on verse 18, but a little bit of the background story that both Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are old. They're barren, which means they have no children. And in this setting here, the story of Christmas really unfolds because Zechariah's responsibility as a priest is to go into the temple, and it's the beginning of the altar of incense, the burning of the incense. And he goes in, the crowd is outside still, and as he goes in, lo and behold, an angel is standing at the right hand at the altar of incense, and he is fearful. Wouldn't you be afraid? Man, and all of a sudden, this angel, we know his name to be Gabriel. Verse 19 describes it. Gabriel, the angel, seems to have a responsibility of giving birth announcements. He's going to announce one to Mary in a moment. But he shows up to, here he is, all of a sudden, Zechariah, and he says, "Your prayers have been answered. You will bear a son and call his name John." Wow. In that meeting there, he says he will be filled with the Spirit of God, verse 15 says, in the womb. And he will be moved by the Spirit of Elijah, verse 17. Now that's a prophetic word following Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And he's going to really prepare the way of the Lord. Malachi 3, verse 1. All of a sudden, John, who's going to grow up to be the Baptist, John the Baptist, God's going to start to speak to our planet. You might recall in the Old Testament, God says, really, because of your errors of your ways, Israel, my prophets are going to go silent for 400 years until the day of the Spirit of Elijah comes. Here he is. We're looking at that. That's why you and I have the Old Testament and then the New Testament. And the in-between time is called the intertestamental period. God has been silent, and that's why the early church said those books are so-called written scripts. We're not going to consider that within the Bible because God was silent until the Spirit of Elijah comes. All of a sudden, we have it going on. The angel announced John is going to be born. But verse 18 now, I want to read to you, because Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." We're talking about his confusion here. God's going to tell him what he's going to do. The angels announced it, but he's confused. How will this happen? He's asking now for a sign. Verse 20, you can see it right there. How is this going to happen? In other words, he's really saying, I'm not sure this is even possible. And the angel says, because you have disbelief, you're going to be silent, mute, until that consecration of the baby. It's interesting. He comes out not able to speak. So we see here that all of a sudden in that same chapter 1, verse 63 and 64, at the dedication of that little baby called John, when they're asking for the father to confirm his name, when he says John or writes it, all of a sudden his mouth opens. Wonder is happening. It's an amazing story, but Zechariah is confused. God gives him a little bit of information. Our second person, letter B, is Mary, teenage girl who gets pregnant before she's married. And when we see here, this is 6 months after Elizabeth. Remember, Zechariah, Elizabeth, they're now having a baby. His name's going to be John. 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel shows up. And I'm in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 again. Follow along with me because it's interesting to note. It says, now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, there he shows up again, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. This virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, she's betrothed to a man, Joseph. That betrothal was literally, in those days, as good as being married. To break off a betrothal was as good as a divorce. But I do want to note, verse 27 uses the term virgin. She was a virgin twice. So this pregnancy is really an act of God. That's what Scripture's wanting us to note. But she is confused, verse 29 says. She is disturbed. That's our point. To follow God does not require us to have full understanding. They're having just a little bit of understanding. Let's look here for a moment, because verse 34 of Luke chapter 1, you can see it on your screen. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now, she's a little bit different than Zachariah. Zachariah says, "This is impossible. I don't think this is going to happen because we're so old." She's saying, "How can this be? I want to cooperate." That's the difference there, because she really has never had sexual relationships. So we see it's an amazing thing. She's been given just a little bit of information. We go to the third person, which is Joseph, letter C. You can see there, this is the fiancé who is heartbroken. So in this, we note in Matthew now, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Now we're taking a look at this because it says when she was found with child. Now this is her, Mary's second trimester, so she's starting to show that she's pregnant. In Luke's gospel, when the angel left her and says, "You're now a child of the Holy Spirit," immediately she went to her cousin Elizabeth. Who would believe that she's going to go around and say that I'm pregnant and the Father is God? Nobody's going to understand that except Elizabeth, who was called barren at one time. But we see something that's happening here. Because in verse 20, we have Joseph receives a angel visitation. It's really a dream. And the angel comes to him and says, "As a father, I want you to marry Mary, and this child will be Jesus, Yeshua." It's amazing because it's Yahweh. Yeshua, meaning Jesus, is Yahweh or Savior. God saves. So we take a look here. It was the responsibility in those days of the father naming the child. "And you will call his name," you, Joseph, "will call his name Jesus," meaning, the implication being, Joseph, you have a command, you will marry her, and you will raise this child. So you can see here what an interesting thing that's happening. He was going to put her away because the Old Testament law, Deuteronomy 22, verse 21, if there's somebody that is caught in pregnancy outside of wedlock, they were to be stoned in those days. So it's interesting to note because that little unusual setting never really left Jesus later on in his life when he's about 31, maybe 33, when he was just tussling with the religious leaders. He was Jesus telling them at that time that you really are of your father, the devil. You don't believe the truth. You really listen to lies. And they said back to them in John chapter 8, verse 41, he says, "Listen, our father isn't anybody but Abraham, and at least we weren't born of fornication." So it's interesting to note that in those days, there probably was a little bit of a backstory to Mary, Joseph, and to Jesus. But glory to God, Joseph followed suit with that little bit of information, still confused though. Letter D is our shepherds. Let's take a look at them, because they're just minding their own business, watching the sheep. Here we have the setting, and it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be for all people. For there is born to you in this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So it's interesting, little lowly shepherds receive this glad tidings of great joy, not the religious elite. And the good news is, it's not just for the Jewish community, but also for the non-Jew. It's for all people. What a great thing, telling this to the shepherds in the field. And they were given just one little sign. This is going to be your sign. You're going to go into Bethlehem and see a baby lying in a feeding trough. That was it. That's the only sign. And so you can imagine their confusion. Why? What was that? What is this thing that God showed us? Let's go and check it out. So we're taking a look here that none of these particular groups or characters in our Christmas story had full understanding of God's plan. Do you think that they fully knew what was going on in their life, how they were playing out greatest event in history? Not a chance. But God showed them just a little bit. So we know that they had confusion, there was expectations of certain things. They were in awe, but certainly had elements of fear. And if you've ever been asked by God just a little bit of information that to do or to follow, that's why we're looking at this message, our reality lesson. Following God doesn't require full understanding. In other words, if we're ever confused, that should be normal to us. Lord, I just know just a little bit, but I don't know everything. I sure remember back in 1986 when Ainsley and I felt the leading of the Lord to maybe step further into ministry. We were already volunteering every way we possibly could as youth pastors. But then the call came, are the Harmons ready to pastor church? I was still full-time operating the family printing business called Quality House, Pasadena. We just knew God wanted us. We were uncertain of the details. Matter of fact, our district supervisor asked us to check out four different churches: Yuma, California, Big Bear, California, Bullhead City, Arizona, and then finally, even just taking a look at Henderson, Nevada. And we said no, and they were just perplexed. Paul, Ainsley, what do you want? We wanted to find out if that's the direction for us. And finally, we knew without a doubt that the Lord had us to go to a place we didn't even know existed called Banning Foursquare Church. Well, today we're still following God's leading, still uncertain of the full story, but it is important for us to take a look in our Christmas story and in our lives. To follow God doesn't require full understanding. Some of you are waiting to be fully informed. It's probably a timely message for us right now because so much is active on social media. People are engaging conversation. They fully want to be completely informed. Is this a true conspiracy? Is this the latest news? Is this the latest update? Does everybody know what I'm doing? But when it comes to following God, there's something that's different. There's something that we need to take a look at. It's important for us. And if you are not fully aware of what God has for you, the full detail, don't misread anything into it. God will give you something that would be requiring you to take a step, something like we see in our Christmas story that's so important. We are asked by the Lord and in His Word, 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. So let's be encouraged by the story. Our second point, let's take a look now. God tells us enough to follow, but not every detail. That's the important thing that we want to emphasize. So when we go back to each of the characters in the Christmas story, right? We recognize that they have just enough information to say, okay, will you do this? Will you obey? But they don't have the how's going to happen, what if, what's next. It's just, this is it. For Zechariah, he knew enough to go home and have a baby. For Mary, she knew enough to humble herself and say, I will accept motherhood and marriage. Joseph, he was willing to say, I will marry this woman and trust this whole ordeal is of God, and refuse the populace as to say to me, don't marry her. Something's wrong with her. And then we have the shepherds who knew just enough of one sign. You're going to find this miracle baby in a feeding trough wrapped in swaddling clothes. So what's the reality lesson? Here it is. Letter A, let go of the expectation of an explanation. Let go of it. That's what we're looking at. That's what I've had to reason with many times in my life. Let go of the expectation. Lord, I need some more explanation before I do anything more. That's the lesson for today. That's the lesson for each and every one of us. Oftentimes, we can argue with God and demand we get more information because the fear of the unknown will grip people, cause them to ice over, to freeze up, and go into indecision. Maybe I'm addressing you specifically. You know just enough, like our Christmas story, just enough. But do you know everything that God planned? No way. Not a chance. But enough to say, will you follow? Even if you don't have full understanding, people will argue with God. They get paralyzed over that. In Job chapter 40, verse 2, I want to read, it says, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God will let him answer it. So it's interesting. You want to argue, literally is what Job is saying, God is saying, do you want to argue with God, the Almighty? You want to be his critic because you have the answer. That's what that verse is saying. I've got the answer. So I've argued with God a few times. I've really asked, oh, Lord, please give me more information. I'm not sure how this is. Just to settle my heart, I'm just not really aware of what's going to happen. So when an individual like myself or maybe you, we refuse to go to the next step, we're not even going to take one step. Because we don't have full understanding, we don't have full information, what we are literally doing, we're arguing with God. We are arguing with God. That's really what that is saying. Lord, nope, I'm not going to do this because I don't have enough information. So many times we're just unable to comprehend God's big plan. He'd love to tell us. I'm sure one day we're going to know, but we just don't know the full plan. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 and 9. I want to read that to you. You can see that on the screen. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are high than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So to let go of our expectation of more explanation from God. Lord, I expect more information. I'll tell you, people will never follow the Lord if they think they should have full, undisclosed revelation. It means that we need to humble ourselves to say, Lord, I'm going to follow what I know to do right here. Boy, that's a big statement for us to do that. That's why Jesus said that a person who is going to follow him really needs to become like a child. The faith like a child. You recognize that children are incapable of really understanding big plans, but they still obey. That's what he's saying. Children do not understand. Have you ever tried to explain in detail something that's beyond them, 300 feet and climbing? But they'll still do it because they know you and they trust you. So when we look here it is. What is the step that you're supposed to take? Let's kind of take a look at that just a little bit. Letter B, that's the question. What is the step of obedience God has revealed to you? We're looking here at a reality lesson from the Christmas story. The reality is, man, I'm living it right now. Are you? What is that step? My guess is most of us have had God reveal something to us that he's asking us to do. Just something, one little thing that he's asked us to do, and we are not willing because we might feel like we don't have enough. And we realize, Lord, how come? What if? And what about? And what if this turns around? And there's no answer, silence from the Lord. But we know there's one thing. God's given us one detail, and we have not followed him yet on that. One detail, and we want more information. But we say, no, I need more information. God, please explain step two, step three, step four. God simply waits until we just say, I'm going to just follow God. Here we go. We're going to follow him. I like James chapter 1, verse 25. You can see it on your screen. It literally says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in whatever he does. So when we see here, it's so important, this applies to the word of God, but it really is the same principle that can be applied to what we're talking about. If God speaks to you about something, you know it's a right thing to do. You know it's a godly thing to do, and you do it. Scripture says you'll be blessed. You know, that blessing comes in many ways, but one in particular that I have found when I know there's one thing the Lord would require, and the blessing follows, there's additional direction that he continues to lead my life, continues to give direction and show me the path to take. That really is a blessing, isn't it? You step out on that one area that God is showing you, and then all of a sudden, more revelation and understanding comes. Wow, that's so great. That's what would be a tremendous thing for your life this season, closing out 2020. Because Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 24, he says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's what we're talking about. Following God doesn't require full understanding. Following God. I hear his voice on certain details. Boy, I want to be a quick follower. And so, what's the step of obedience Jesus has been asking you lately? Would you consider that? Maybe there's an area of forgiveness. Maybe there's an area of reconciliation. How about serving? Sharing your faith? These are things God, by his Spirit, would just tell you, just whisper that to you. Maybe there's an area of giving or an area of loving somebody or trusting by taking a risk or just be willing to talk to a ministry leader about next steps. Wow, that's all it takes. What is it that the Lord, now, why would God do it that way? Give us one portion to say, okay, here it is. Here it is. Go for it. Well, let's take a look. Number three, that our faith is in a person we follow, not in our understanding. Can you take a look at that with me for a moment? Our faith is in the person we're following, not in our understanding. Now, that's important because every character of the Christmas story, every person eventually showed such strong faith to follow God in what he had asked him to do. Isn't it amazing? That's why we love the Christmas story like that. It's like we know the outcome, but at the time they didn't, and it's important for us. So even though they had no details, they were willing to obey the Lord and follow God's directive. So future would be really okay for them because they're willing to follow God, and the future will be okay for you. So letter A, let's take a look at that. God wants to grow our faith and trust in him. When we look here for a moment, our faith is in a person we are following, not in our understanding. Letter A, why? Because God wants to grow our faith and trust in him. Now, God gave us all the information up front. Wouldn't that be great? I like that. I like when it's just obvious, but then there's no faith required there. It was absolutely certain of something. Certain you need to do, and everything's revealed. Boy, I sure like that, like a little scroll, like, let me just see exactly what I'm about to face. Then there's no faith. And we know it takes faith to please the Lord. But when we look here, God uses uncertainty or the lack of details to make sure that we put our trust in him and that we don't go and resource our own navigation. Have you ever done that? Say, I don't even need to pray. Oftentimes, it's been said about people who pray, you can tell how much they trust themselves by how much they pray. We just go at it. So we see here, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the word says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Well, I sure like that. Jesus came to show us how to live this way. Trust him. Boy, then stop trusting ourselves, really, when it comes right down to that. So we've seen some amazing elements, our journey here at Hope Chapel, miracle elements. Seems like every week there's something that is absolutely phenomenal. And this season, regardless of the global pandemic, we really have a very happy church. We probably should change the name to Happy Chapel instead of Hope Chapel, but we sure like the name Hope Chapel. But God has been doing some amazing things. Let's look at letter B. God wants to grow our dependency on him. Why are we to really put our trust and follow a person rather than follow our own understanding? Because he wants to grow our dependency on him. I like John 15, verse 5. It says, Jesus says this, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Isn't it interesting? Because God wants us to learn dependency upon him. That's important. You can tell, how does dependency really come? When we recognize that we're needy. If you don't feel you have any needs, if you feel self-contained, you'll never be dependent upon God. But God wants us to be dependent on him. How does he work that? He limits the information. He gives you just enough of a step to say, this is what I have for you to do. Now follow me in it. Well, wait a minute, Lord. Nope. So we end up being dependent. We keep coming to him. Okay, Lord, I did it. What's the next step? And further direction comes. It's an amazing thing. It really comes right down to that. We can't really function properly without him. It's really kind of like, I don't know if you ever have any cordless equipment, this leaf blower that operates by a battery, you can imagine if you were to remove the battery from this, and that's going to be interesting. I think it's locked in there. You can imagine it's just not going to operate. But it's the same way with our own life. If we have opportunities to just function without Jesus, we're just not going to operate. It's not going to flow so well. So let's continue, because we want to follow in such a way Jesus and recognize our dependency means it's more of a connection with him. So important. So take our focus off of really our need for more understanding to just follow Jesus Christ fully. Don't allow confusion to keep you back from connecting with God, or don't allow those things that are uncertain to cause you to just stop in your pursuit of those things that you know God has for you. I know this Christmas is going to be grand for you. I'm confident of that, because our reality lesson is that really following God does not require full understanding. But we know this of you. You have been given something of the Lord, just a little bit of a direction, and God is wanting you to follow him completely. One of the things that we enjoy so much is that just committing our time now, even with communion, I want to transition. And we do this because we know very comfortably that the Word of God, Jesus, giving a directive to have communion together. I want to invite you to even join me in that. Why do we do that? Because God's given us a little bit of an understanding. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we show the Lord's death till he comes for us the second time. I want to welcome you to do that. This has been a great startup this Christmas season. What a wonderful service we've had today. If you're not able to be with us during our in-person service at 10 a.m., I want to thank you for being with us here this morning. And I want to welcome you, because the presence of God is with us, you and me, right now. Would you take that element, even if you don't happen to have anything in your hand, would you just even lift that portion up and just say, Lord, it's more about my confidence that Jesus came, and I'm going to follow you completely. Would you take that bread? Would you take that cracker? Maybe it's a chip. And say, Lord, I want to thank you for coming, God in human flesh, for the sake of saving souls like mine and keeping my body whole and healthy. I join now in believing. Let's go ahead and participate together. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to welcome you to take a hold of that juice, maybe some form of beverage, but let's believe, because the Lord was the one that says, this cup now represents my blood given for you. Do this in memory of me. I remember, and I know you do too, how wonderful it is what Jesus has done for humanity, but especially to those who believe. I am a follower of Jesus. I'm a functioning follower of Jesus. That's my desire for you today. Not just a believer, oh, I believe in God, but a functioning follower. I will follow the Lord however he leads. That's why I'm an avid reader of the scriptures. And I see so many fruitful, miraculous things happen in my life. And I know you do too, as we follow the Lord together. And it's all possible because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And so, Lord, as we lift our cup, we prepare not only our hearts, but our souls for this great holiday season. As we welcome the Christ child, we welcome the Savior into our heart. Thank you for washing us of all our sins. Lord, we believe and thank you in Jesus' name. Would you go ahead? Let's participate together. Praise God. Well, it's always a thrill when we get a chance to be together. I sure miss so many of you, and I want to thank you for sending an email, telling us what God is doing, sharing even your prayer requests. Please keep those coming. You'll see prayer requests or praise report listed right there, especially if you're on our website. If you are wanting to be informed, we do have in-gathering happenings here in December. Would you please, please consider subscribing to our newsletter? All it would require is you to just go on and hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. And then just fill in the simple information. We'll make sure we include you on the information for our ladies' Christmas tea, on our church luncheon that's happening on the 20th. We want you to come. It's a safe place outdoors, all of those happening outdoors. Well, today's been a great day and a startup of a great Christmas season for you and for me. I want to thank you for joining me. Let me pray you off a blessing for you and yours. Father, thank you for your word to us today. We follow Jesus. And Lord, now may the Lord bless each and every one. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord's countenance come upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Thank you for joining today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.